When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99. 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. Right now, we are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in baseball and around sports every week. Brett, we appreciate the few minutes here. How do you think your brother's feeling during this rough stretch for his ball club?
I stay away from him. You know, I said, you know, that's these times I give him a call. I said, so you want to be a big league manager, do you? Now, it's, you know, he's gone through this before. I talked to him the other day. He's fine. I mean, this is, especially in today's game, you've got to realize that throughout the course of the season, no matter what's going on, I mean, they came through San Diego a month ago, and this team was as hot as it could be. It was like a rock concert going on, and I remember going on shows and them asking me, you know, you saw the Yankees recently. I said, you don't want to play the Yankees right now. They couldn't lose. Now, all of a sudden, flip the script. I think they're 6-14 their last 20. They're having a tough time winning. They squeaked one out last night, 2-1 game. But that's the ebb and flow of baseball. For me, the key, and I think the key for this offense, but yeah, the Juan Soto is going to be an MVP candidate. Aaron Judge, if he keeps going, stays healthy, probably going to be the MVP. The key for me has been Giancarlo Stanton being a presence in that lineup. And when he went down, the team kind of went south a little bit offensively. I think it's imperative that he's in the middle of that lineup, and you can't just get around Soto and Judge. Now you've got to deal with a guy that's got a good chance of hitting one off a facade. So I think his presence is kind of an undervalued thing. Hopefully they'll be getting him back soon. Obviously the pitching staff has been scuffling. Cole's back, but he's still in kind of that spring training mode. And that bullpen, statistically, it ranks, I think, third in the American League. But that bullpen's beat up, and they're going to need some help. I see them to go at the deadline and look to bolster that bullpen.
They better bolster them more than the bullpen. They better find a third baseman. I mean, listen, tell your brother, find the new second baseman. I can't stand watching Gleyber Torres. He's so lazy. Brett, here's the thing. I want to go back to something you said before. You said that he's been through this before. And I know what you mean, because I don't think Brian Cashman's built out very good teams. That's always been my opinion. I've said that on the air for a while. And I've defended your brother a lot. I like your brother. I think he's a good manager. The one thing that's different this year with his team is I'm now seeing an erosion of fundamentals. I'm seeing an absence of effort with too many players and being locked in. And I know that your brother is feisty. The whole Savages thing, the way he lights up umps. I know he wants to explode. He doesn't. Behind closed doors, is his team seeing a different Aaron Boone?
Absolutely. And Aaron, you know, we're similar in a lot of ways. We're different in a lot of ways. We don't handle things the same all the time. I know Aaron, sometimes to a fault, will defend his players to the bitter end, especially publicly. But I know behind the scenes, it's, come in here, I need to talk to you. Okay, it's that. We've got to realize that Major League Baseball, I hear it all the time, well, they need to do this and the discipline. Major League, these are big leaguers. This isn't JC college baseball where we're going to bench you if you don't hustle. No, we're going to fire you if you don't hustle. Yeah, you maybe get a fine. But in a big league clubhouse, the way it is you've got to have your players policing one another. I mean, it's like if I'm playing with you and you're pulling that crap on the field where you cost me a run or my team a game, we're going to have a big problem. And everybody in that room, their livelihood depends on one another. Getting to the postseason, ultimately winning a World Series. That's what we're in it for. But I laugh when I say, oh, he needs to be tougher. What are you going to do? These guys are making $20, $30 million a year. It isn't babysitting. It's not college baseball where we can discipline you and you're not going to play on Friday and Saturday. No, we need you to play every day. The bottom line is wins and losses on a daily basis.
Well,
and I see how Aaron comes across because he's always, he will defend his team to a fault. His players, they love him for it, but I get it from a media perspective that, oh, he's being soft and he's not taking care. I know Aaron behind closed doors. And he's being tough on those guys. But more importantly, those guys, the Aaron Judges of the world, the Stantons, the Coles, when you see what I've seen the last few weeks, and we also have the same clips, there's got to be some accountability amongst the players. That's what great teams do. We keep one another in check.
So it's over to Brett Boone, BT and Sal here on The Fan. He's part of the Odyssey family. Listen, and I presented the question that way. I don't have a doubt that your brother behind closed doors is presenting this very differently and holding them accountable. And you are right. It is frustrating from our perspective, speaking for our great Yankee fan audience. You know, they get frustrated by the constant defense of the players. I know why he does it. Trust me, I get it. You're right. It's not JUCO ball understood. But then I guess, Brett, I would say this. While he is holding them accountable behind closed doors, if the product doesn't change, are they still receiving his message? Is that a fair question?
I think it's a fair question, and that'll play out with how this season plays out. You know, I look at what they've gone through. You're still sitting here in your 56-38, top four in all the game. If it doesn't change, well, then that's what happens with managers, with players. I played for a lot of great managers, played for a lot of great players. At the end of the day, players win and lose games. At the end of the day, managers are blamed for the losses. That's just the way it is and the way it always has been. When you sign on the dotted line and you want to be the skipper of the New York Yankees, you know, at the end of the day, first of all, you're going to have your feet held to the fire in New York. And by the way, that's why I love playing in New York. I love the craziness. I love coming to New York. And I know, man, if I go 0-for-4, even though I'm a visitor, I'm going to hear about it. Hmm. At the same time, if I go 4-for-4 as a visitor, those fans are going to give you your just due. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine. I would have loved to play in New York at some time in my career. I never got to do it. But that's – and I talked to Aaron about this. When we talk, I said, why would you want to do it anywhere else? Man, you're on that hot plate all the time. If you win in New York, though, man, you have the key to that city for the rest of your life. I wouldn't want to do it any other way. And, yes, the press is tough. Yes, the fans expect big things. But that's what makes New York, New York, and the greatest place on earth. And I wouldn't want to do it in any other venue.
BT,
he's there, knows what it's about. Those players got to get it done. He's got to find a way. What managers do is they get great players, they get egos, they get personalities. And the great ones have the ability to put their players in the best situation for them to individually succeed. That's what the great managers do. That's what Aaron's got to do. And if the players don't play well, guess who gets the all the smoke? That's usually the manager.
BT and Sal on The Fan. We're talking with Brett Boone. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, Brett, last time I had you on, one of my favorite things was just to hear about you and your brother and the relationship and the back and forth and the smack talk. Is this a time where you needle your brother a little bit and be like, come on, Aaron, you're the worst team in baseball, or you lay off and just let things be?
I lay off. I lay off in these times. You know, he's got enough going on that he'll reach out to me. He's got a question or he'll run something by me once in a while. Sometimes he listens. Sometimes he doesn't listen. But in these times, I'll tell you, I stay away from them when they're getting their butt kicked, and I stay away from them when they're winning every night. Because I know if I give them a call and they've won, rattle off 9 of 10, and they lose that night, it's definitely because I gave them a call. So I stay away from either of the streaks. The good time to call, you know, when they had a nice week, maybe a 4-3, 3-4, I give them a call and check in. And most of our calls to check in on the family, you know, how my nephews are doing, how Aunt Laura's doing. And we talk, you know, less baseball than people might think. But, yeah, during the season, during a run, once in a while I'll reach out to them. I'll have some questions. What do you think about doing this, and he'll hit me with some questions. So most of our conversations really is what people wouldn't really think about is it's more about our lives and our family and how are the kids doing versus what do you think about the last four games and particular players? You know, that comes into the fray sometimes. Like I said, sometimes we're in agreement. Sometimes we disagree. I'll let him know. He knows where I stand on everything, and he usually lets me know where he stands. So we're a lot alike, but then again, we're a lot different in many aspects, just how we go about our business. Aaron's obviously, you see him every day. You know, he's buttoned up, and he comes, and he defends. Sometimes I've got to tell him when I'm on the phone. I said, you realize that there's no cameras. I'm your brother, and I know probably more than you do. You can shoot straight with me, Aaron. this isn't the post-game press conference. I tease him about that.
See, but, that's funny.
That's what
my brother. He's always been my little brother, and I think he's doing a hell of a job in a tough spot right now.
That's what I like, the brotherly, you know, busting chops right there between you two. Like, if you see your brother, you said last time you see him go out and, you know, argue a call or get tossed, you give him some crap for that. That's what I like.
Yeah, I told him. I said, how long are we going to argue this balls and strikes with the stupid box that's not even the legitimate strike zone? That's all we ever talk about. Now that you got laptops in your freaking in the dugout, did it not hit the line? So we're going to yell at him. I said, how long are we going to yell at him? We're having the eyeball check. I get caught up in it. I'm sitting on my couch yelling at the TV, thinking, wait a minute, I'm above this. I know that box is wrong, and I know what a strike is by my eye.
Uh-huh.
I get it. Him and David Bell, baby, they like to get thrown out of the game, but he's a lot of memes been made of it, and he's done a lot of good in a lot of ways. But when Aaron goes out, the one thing I love about my brother, and I respect the hell, that's really Aaron Boone right there. That's it. He's a good man. He's a man of principle, moral character, very high. He goes out to that umpire, and he really thinks in his mind. I know how he thinks. All right, I want to be respectful. I don't want to show anybody up, but I need to get my point across because I'm so passionate about what I just saw. So he tries to reason with the umpires, and then he goes crazy because that's what he does. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. That's the Aaron Boone I know playing flag football, playing street hockey. The cars are coming. We got to move the goals, put them back. And I used to tease him then. You know, we'd be playing wiffle ball in the backyard. He'd hit one. That was a home run. I knew it was fair, but it was, you know, it was close. I'd say that's definitely foul. It's fair. And it's the same kid at 10 years old that I see at Yankee Stadium, and I love him to death for it. That's really Aaron Boone right there. That's
man. So Brett, help us with this, not just because of Aaron, but, you know, you have the podcast with Odyssey. You played the game a long time. Good player, connected to the game. When Aaron or other managers, but you can, you know, can take it however you want, when they sit down to write out the lineup card before the tonight, Yanks Rays, right? Is it, not is it, because I'm sure it is, how much of an organizational collaboration is it? This is a question that I think we all ask, and nobody knows the real specific answer. If Aaron wants tonight, 1-9, in his own absolute way, does he have to justify it at all to other baseball people? How does that dynamic work with the lineup? We need the answer. We need the real answer. Nobody knows.
I think it's a case-to-case, but I think it's an organization-to-organization thing. I think some organizations give a lot more leeway to the manager. I think if you go to the Texas Rangers and Bruce Bochy, he's going to have a little more leeway and kind of do what he wants to do, what he feels, what his gut tells him, because that's the way the Texas Rangers run their organization. I think it's organization to organization. I think you get on the other side of a real analytical team. I think the Yankees are more of an analytical team. So it's a team effort, and it's not just Aaron, well, no, I want to put him in the four hole and him in the six hole. I think there's a lot more that goes into it than just Aaron Boone has been. To be honest with you, we haven't discussed it. And I don't go there with him. He'd probably be close to the vest with me anyway on it, on how the cake's really made. But I think it's organization. Definitely my playing days, and, you know, I'm 15 years removed. It was pretty much 100% in the hands of the manager at time.
Yeah.
Out the line, they see. We didn't have analytical teams. We didn't have analytical meetings before games. We had coaches, staff, that would have some input to the manager, but I think the game has changed, and I don't think always in the best way. I love some of the things that this data era and this information generation that we're in right now, man, I'm envious of a lot of the things we have at our fingertips, but But I think too much information in the wrong hands can be detrimental sometimes. I think baseball has gone a little overboard on the analytical, and I think it needs to curve it back. I think a lot of things in baseball are going to kind of peel back, because I think we're finding, you know, especially in the injury front, the way we treat our pitchers now, somebody getting Tommy John every other day. And it's like, oh, is this the real way of the world? You know, pitch counts, and we can only go this amount of innings. We got to baby them in the minor leagues, get to the big leagues, let's blow them out, and then we'll go get a draft another one. I think some things have got to change for this game, and it's going to be interesting. I was watching Smoltz the other day as a teammate of mine in Atlanta, and he was really talking, you know, not to be off topic, but the injuries and the pitchers. And I respect his intellect when it comes to pitching and how you prepare to pitch. Not only that he's a Hall of Fame guy, but just the ways of this game. So I think some things are going to change going forward. But to answer your question, in the longest way possible, I just did it. I don't truly know how much the Yankees kind of say, no, we're going to put him in the two-hole tonight, Aaron. I know you like him there, but we're going to put him. I don't know. I think it's a case to case. I think Texas being the extreme on one side,
yeah,
and then the Tampa Bay Rays of the world being the extreme in the other, and then everybody else is kind of.
Yeah, well, maybe
in the
Rangers
middle.
Way is the right way. They're the champions. Right. Tell the Yankees to do that.
I'll tell you what. I would take all this data. Yeah, give it all to
get
me.
Get rid of it.
I'm the skipper. I make the decision, so I win. I go in or out. You fire me, you're going to do it my way.
I love it.
That's how it should be. All right, Brett, always a pleasure. Look forward to the next time we have you on. We appreciate the few minutes.
Thank you, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That was fun, right?
That was good. First of all, Brett's course, I was not here last week. Brett was cool. And let's face it, Brett played ball. We asked a couple of tough ones about his brother, and he didn't run from it. I thought that was really good. I think that's something we could react to.
Yeah.